John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Let's pray. Father God, as we approach these verses, Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us today. Help us to quietly sit in your presence and be guided by your Holy Spirit as we reflect on these words of yours, that you are the vine and that we are the branches. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back in the days when most family cars were either a Holden or a Ford, it wasn't uncommon to be asked the question of whether you're a Holden or a Ford person. Back when we were in Sydney while I was studying, it wasn't uncommon to be asked if you're an Android person or an iPhone person. But out here in the country, maybe a more apt question might be, do you use DeWalt, Milwaukee, or Ryobi? Now, for those who aren't familiar with those brands, they're all the most popular brands of cordless tools. Anyone who uses cordless tools will have a strong opinion as to which one of those is the best and why they're the best. Battery operated tools are powerful, they're convenient, and they're very easy to use. And that's why they're found in most workshops and most farm use toolboxes. But that wasn't always so. Back before the batteries were as good as they are these days, back when they used to run out halfway through a job, and before they made the kind of power they do these days, most workshops used to run pneumatic tools or air-powered tools. The beauty of an air-powered tool, it's connected to a big compressor that makes lots of noise, but it never, ever goes flat. You can use it all day long. But the drawback, of course, is it needs to be connected to that air compressor. They'll only ever work when that hose is attached. Without it, they're completely useless, which means that they're not as easy to take away from a workshop and use in another location, because they always need to remain connected to the compressor. And that's why an air-powered tool is just like a branch on a vine. They are completely powerless apart from the compressor, just as branches are powerless to bear fruit apart from the vine, and just as we are completely powerless unless we are connected to Jesus. And sadly, I think we often think of ourselves more as a cordless tool than the pneumatic one, than an air-powered one. We know we need to be charged up. We know that we can get distracted by the things of this life. So we might pick up our Bible and read it. We might go to church. And once we feel like we've been charged up, then, well, we head back out into the world on our own again. The reality is we're much more like an air tool than a battery-operated one. Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches. And when he's telling us that, he's saying that none of us are meant to consider ourselves as cordless, but rather we're called to remain connected to our Saviour like an air tool needs to remain connected to the compressor, or like a branch needs to remain connected to a vine. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Apart from him, we're like a cordless tool without a battery, or an air-powered tool without its hose connected. Apart from Jesus, we cannot do anything that pleases God. Now, in the verses we're looking at today, Jesus is using this vine metaphor. You can tell by my illustration I'm not a gardener. But Jesus is using this vine and the branch metaphor to describe his role in the lives of those who trust him. There are three main things that he's teaching in these verses. The first is that there's no life apart from the true vine, that there's no fruit apart from the true vine, and that there are no true disciples apart from the true vine. So let's look at the first one of those, that there is no life apart from the true vine. Now, in verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Now, in that sentence, there is one word that is extremely important and that we could easily skip over and miss the point that Jesus is making. Jesus doesn't just say, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He says, "I am the true vine." Now, for us Westerners, that doesn't mean a lot. But in the Old Testament, the vine metaphor was a well-known and often used metaphor to describe the nation of Israel. Some examples of that would be Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9. "You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land." Or in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, "I planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine?" In the Old Testament, God's people were referred to as this vine that was connected to God the Father. But here, as Jesus says, he is the true vine. Jesus is explaining that he is the true Israel of God, that faith in him and dependence on him has replaced all of the sacrifices that were made by a priest in the temple, that regardless of which family line you are born into, regardless of which traditions and festivals you follow, only those who are connected through faith to Jesus have life in the vine. Or in other words, only those who are connected through faith in Jesus are among God's people. As verse 2 says, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful." Now, we don't have lots of vineyards in our area, but what we do have are lots of avid gardeners who love to grow roses. And so many of us, we might be honest here, many of you will have trimmed dead branches off roses in order to direct all of the nutrients of that bush to the healthy branches so that they'll produce lots of beautiful flowers. The fruit that Jesus is referring to in these verses isn't some kind of flower, but the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 explains what the fruit of the Spirit, what the fruits of the Spirit are. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the attributes of someone who is connected into the vine, someone who is showing Christ-like fruit in their lives. When Jesus says, "I am the branch, I am the vine, and you are the branches," he is saying that it's impossible for a follower of Jesus not to display the fruit of the Spirit in some measure in their lives. If we're connected into the vine, then we will produce the fruit the vine produces. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm sure you're all familiar with this verse. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We have been grafted into the vine and connected to Jesus. We will produce the fruit of the vine. That's why Jesus warns that the Father cuts off every branch in him that bears no fruit. These branches, they don't have life in him. They're just taking up nutrients and energy that the good branches could be using. They're just causing the stifling the vine. And so to encourage the vine to flourish, God the Father cuts those branches off. Now, this isn't speaking about genuine believers losing their faith in the Lord. This is speaking about those who appear to belong to the vine but don't really belong. People who have never produced fruit. People who are never new creations in Christ Jesus. But those who do bear fruit, well, they don't get off scot-free either. Because those who do bear fruit, he prunes. We know that unless the healthy branches on a rose bush are pruned and the dead ones cut off, well, the bush won't produce all of the healthy flowers that it would have otherwise. Pruning causes the plant to produce lots of fruit or flowers that it wouldn't have otherwise. But pruning is never a comfortable process. In pruning those who bear fruit, he allows them to go through hard times. He allows them to face suffering, challenges that strip away the dead wood, that cause them to let go of all of the things that have been taking their eyes off him. By doing this, he makes them flourish because there is no life apart from the vine. The second point that Jesus makes in these verses is that there is no fruit away from the true vine. Verse 4 says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." What Jesus is saying is, we are not cordless. We don't come to Jesus to be charged up so that we can go back out into the world again. Because as soon as we go off on our own, in our own strength, even for good and godly purposes, our old nature will sooner or later lead us astray. Our priorities will be based on what feels right to us rather than on what God's word says. And our actions, no matter how well-intentioned, will not bring God the glory he deserves. We can't produce good fruit apart from the vine. That's why Jesus is warning those who trust in him to remain in him. Some of the English translations use the word abide, but nevertheless, remaining or abiding is an idea of us keeping connected with Jesus, walking with him, talking to him throughout our day, keeping him before our eyes all the time, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, so that we produce the fruit that brings God the glory that he deserves, rather than seeking our own glory, which is what we will always do in our own strength. What brings God the most glory is when those who trust in him continue to grow more and more like Jesus. As Jesus works in our heart, growing the fruit of the Spirit. And as God prunes those in him, as he encourages that growth. As Jesus says in verses 5 and 6, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Like an air tool with its hose connected or a cordless tool without a battery, apart from Christ, we cannot do anything. Now, of course, in reality, there are lots of things that we can do apart from Christ. We can have families, we can make friends, we can carry out our work, and we can live our lives. But apart from Christ, we cannot do any of those things in a way that will please God or bring him the glory that he deserves. Because of our sinful nature, apart from Christ, apart from the vine, we will always do whatever it is that brings us glory rather than him. Which means that to be a business person, whatever kind of business we're in or an employee, Christ needs to be in the center of all of our dealings and all that we do so that our work will bear Christ-like fruit. To be a parent, a grandparent, a friend or a family member who is honoring Christ and developing the fruit of the vine, Christ needs to be in the middle of all of those relationships. Remaining in him means giving him all of our lives, all that we are, and all that we do in this life, not just our Sundays, because there is no fruit apart from the true vine. And lastly, there are no true disciples apart from the true vine. Verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, the first thing we need to note here is that verse 7 isn't giving us a blank check to get God to do whatever we want him to do. But what Jesus is saying is that if you remain connected to the true vine, if we are displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and are growing in him, it is likely that the desires of our heart will be closely aligned to his. Our prayers will be for what is within his will, for things that bring him glory and that advance his kingdom. If our heart attitude is to pray for those things that were within his will, then he will give us the desires of our heart. True disciples remain connected to the true vine, and their prayers reflect this because their heart is aligned to Christ's. In verse 8, Jesus says, by remaining him, we will bear much fruit. In other words, as we keep connected to the true vine and desire to grow in Jesus, we'll become more and more like him. And as we become more and more like him, it will be more and more obvious that we are his disciples, that we are learning from him, that we are becoming more like him. Because a disciple is ultimately a student, isn't it? Someone who is learning from their master. By the fruits we produce and demonstrate as we interact with others, people will be able to see that we have been learning and growing and becoming more and more like Christ. Just as branches on a vine are connected to each other, we are also connected into the vine. And so those who remain connected to Jesus are connected not only to Christ but to each other. And so loving those that Jesus has called to himself is also an essential part of being a disciple of Christ. Jesus says in John 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Loving each other is an essential part of being connected into the vine, into the true vine. As we love and serve and produce Christ-like fruit together. That's why there's no such thing as a solo follower of Jesus, because there are no true disciples outside of the vine. Verses we've been looking at today are reminding those who trust in Jesus that he is our source of life and our source of spiritual nourishment that enables those who trust in him to become more and more like him. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, without being connected to Jesus, the true vine, no one can do anything that pleases God. No one can do anything of eternal value. And so unless we invest in our walk with him, unless we remain connected to him, we will not bear any spiritual fruit. For those who stay in that condition, well, these verses provide a very stern and serious warning. But God will cut off any branch in him that does not bear fruit. Jesus also gives an extremely stern warning along the same lines in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. There Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" But as for the branches that are bearing fruit, fruits of the Spirit in the vine, God will prune. He will work at our lives, in our lives, encouraging us to keep producing fruit. I think it's a comforting thought that by remaining in the vine, to know that when we are being pruned, when we are suffering, it isn't futile. It isn't for no reason. It says God is working in our lives to make us more and more like Christ. It brings meaning to our suffering, purpose, value. As he reminds us of where our true hope is and reminds us to hold on to the things of this life loosely. Jesus is the true vine and we are the branches. He is the one who gave us life, even when we were dead in our transgressions. He grafted us in to the vine. And he continues to be the source of life for those who remain connected to him, both now and into eternity. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we all live busy lives. And in our busy lives, we can often drift away from the true vine. We can often head off into our lives, treating ourselves as though we're cordless, without any idea that we have run out of charge. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live lives that are utterly dependent on you, that are based on the hope we have in you, that the joy of our salvation would be the motivating and driving factor in our lives, and that we would be in constant prayer keeping you before our eyes all the time, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, so that we might remain connected to the vine, and so that you might work in us to make us more and more like Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.